This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special guest. He's been a longtime friend of the family with us at Rage Rowdy. He's a South Carolina native. He just signed a big old record deal with our friends over at Core Records and Capitol. And he is killing it right now. He's on a rocket ship. We got our boy Brandon Wisham. B-Wish.
How's it going?
How you doing? I'm glad we're finally able to get you on here. How's it going, big dog? How's life?
Oh, man. It's a roller coaster, dude. It's crazy just how fast everything's going.
Yeah, man, because you moved to town how long ago?
2 years. I guess it's coming up on three, but beginning of 2023.
Because I was going to say, I remember when you first got to town, and I remember talking with Chief and Simon and those folks about, hey, you got to check out this new kid we got. Yeah. I remember connecting with you and you being a South Carolina guy, one of my favorite states in the Union, brother.
Man, it's crazy. I love it. I'm actually, I was born in Georgia, raised in South Carolina.
Yeah.
I claim South Carolina. It's like home to me for sure.
Yeah, man. And we connected over a venue that's not there anymore, but back in my touring days, many a times at the Blind Horse, RIP. And just the music scene, you're a guy that started playing music as a teenager. What was it like growing up in a place like South Kakalaki where you have opportunities to play shows at a young age?
I think it was cool. I feel like it's changed a lot just with a lot of the there's a lot of bars shutting down in South Carolina, so there's not as many places, I feel like, as there used to be. But I kind of got lucky. I was right there at the end of, right before COVID, and man, it was amazing just to be able to play shows every night. You know, school nights, I was still playing shows.
Yeah.
After work, straight to the house to get ready, go to a show. And just the people that I met along the way. I feel like my hometown's like super, team. All my team, has my back. It's crazy. Man.
That's what it's all about. Tell me about Williamston and what that small town in South Carolina is all about.
Well, Williamston's small. I mean, it's close to one red light town almost. I feel like there's like three maybe, but growing up there, everybody knew everybody. I went to school with everybody. Like I don't know, it felt like a big community. It was like everybody, like all the football games were packed out, shows, like they had beauty pageants, and then they had like cheerleading stuff and wrestling shows. Like everybody was doing everything. So it was a big community. And I struggled a little bit in high school, but for the most part, I feel like I had one of the best experiences of high school. I feel like on every aspect, I've experienced everything. So, but no, man, you can't beat it. You cannot beat a small town.
Yeah, and then I forget, are you a Clemson guy or a USC guy?
Oh, man, so this is funny. My keys are over there. I'll show you. So my dad is a Georgia fan.
Okay. Right?
It's going to make a lot of people upset at me right here.
There's a lot of Georgia fans out there. It's one of those schools where there's just army.
Yeah,
fans.
And there's people. I mean, it's just a massive school, right?
Yeah.
You could be from Wisconsin. There's a Georgia fan somewhere. Yeah. So I think they're annoying. I think Georgia fans are so annoying.
The way
annoying.
They bark and.
Man, dude. And
their calling is like a drunk, obnoxious 100%. Georgia fan. At least they recognize
100%.
How loud and crazy
I'm
they
sure
are.
Georgia fans will tell you they're annoying,
Yeah.
So my dad was an annoying Georgia fan, and I remember the year we played. We don't play often. We're actually playing, I think, this year. I'd have to look. I'm so busy. I'm not even looking into the football yet. But LSU was the team that I picked up when I was young.
Not
so
a bad
random.
Team, especially as a young guy. Was 100%. That, was it the Les Miles era or the
I
Brian
think so.
Kelly?
I think so.
When he was eating that grass.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I think so. I don't remember. I feel like I was too green to know who the coach was at the time when I started. I think I do remember Brian Kelly. So it was around that era. But from then on, I just was LSU. I liked the colors at first. I was like 13 maybe.
Yeah.
So like, this is a cool team. And then my brother was also picked up. He picked up on LSU too. So
nice. That
was like something we bonded on. So it just kind of clicked. And then ever since then, dude.
So neither of the Carolina teams.
No, man. If I have to pull for one, Clemson, because I'm that area. But with Clemson, like Clemson and LSU's playing, I think it's their first game of the season.
Oh, wow. The Tiger
in
Bowl.
Clemson, yeah.
Oh, in so, Death Valley?
Yeah,
you
man.
Guys are both Death Valley, both the Tigers, both have some natties.
Yeah, dude. They That's say cool. they're the real Death Valley, but we'll show you who's
There's
the stronger Death Valley.
Special about Baton Rouge, bro.
Man.
That's awesome, man.
I've never been, but I hear about it all the time.
That's going to change for you with as often. I'm surprised you haven't been there. I mean, you've done like over 100, like hundreds of shows now
100%.
In your career where you've gotten to go out on the road with BZ and with Josh and do all this stuff. Baton Rouge is a great country music town, bro. The Texas Club down there. Mm-hmm. It's a very similar to the Blind Horse.
Yeah, I've heard that before, yeah.
You would love it down there. And the catering they give you, man, if you're down there in the spring when it's crawfish season.
Oh, God.
Oh, and Madge, give me that jambalaya. Give me them duck tacos, bro.
I'm telling you, man.
Something special about Louisiana.
I have to try. I haven't even tried anything like... I feel like Nashville has a lot of food, like, from other places.
Yeah.
I've not tried anything, like, Cajun, swampy Louisiana. I just want to make it an experience, dude. Yeah. I want to go to Louisiana, sit down, and experience it all.
Yeah, man. Well, that's what they do when you go down there. They're very proud of their culture and their culinary down there, man. So, talking about touring, man, it seems like last year was crazy, and this year's been even crazier. What's it been like to travel the country, opening up some massive shows?
Man, it's crazy, dude. I feel like at the beginning of this year, we were still kind of we were recovering from the first, you know, couple of tours that we did, and just getting back in the writing scheme of things and putting out music, and we were like, we didn't really have a solid set plan of what we were going to do yet, and then out of nowhere, it was just like, you know, the Tyler thing came along, and then we're like, well, we got the Tyler tour.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, Austin Snell reached back out, and I did a tour with him when I first came to town. I did like 4 or 5 shows with him.
Yeah, he's OG, man.
Oh, yeah. Austin. Super OG, dude. Yeah. And then after that, just kind of kept going. And Lakeview hit us and was like, hey, we want to get him on. And
man.
Then we got some other stuff coming and insane.
Do you remember the first show where you got to open for someone?
Oh, yeah, Bailey. Well, I guess the first show I've ever opened for someone, opened up for a band called 3 and 20 back in the day. They were a band from my hometown. I mean, super intelligently music guys. Like, I mean, they know. They're old heads and taught me everything I knew about, you know, show and writing and all the things, man. So I did a couple of shows with them. We did some stuff with Demon Jones. So I don't know if you know who that is.
The country rap, church,
the hip-hop community. We was diving into it a little bit.
And, I've been to some mud bogs in my day. Man, I know about that. Demon
unmatched.
Jones.
Rehab was another band that opened up.
Bartender.
I'm telling you, dude. Only song I knew, but I was so hyped when they played it. But no, man, it was like I've opened up for them, but I remember my first big shows with Bailey, and it was in L.A., my first time in L.A. I remember standing at the door right outside of it was in the Novo, I believe, and we met Marshmello, which was one of my first, like, big cultural shock moments of just, like, seeing this guy walk by and didn't know who he was because, obviously, his helmet on all the time, and then he gets to the green room with Bailey, and they're all hanging out, and I'm like, who is this guy? And he's like, Marshmello. What, dude? You look like that? Yeah. So that's a flex. I know what Marshmello looks like. But no, it's like I was so emotional. I was so emotional. I wanted to cry, and I think I did cry a little bit. And got on stage, and somebody called me out. I was like, "He's nervous." And I just remember the whole, you know, venue was silent. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm nervous." And then once I kind of got through the first song, though, it was a magical moment of just everybody was, you know, so supportive. It's, you know, it's crazy.
Yep, dude, your first big national touring show, opening for Bailey, sold out show in L.A.
Like 4,000 maybe, 3,000?
Yeah, that's a lot of freaking people.
Yeah, we was at like 9. I remember Phil was his tour manager at the time, pat me on the back, and he's like, we're at full capacity, brother, so go, you know? I was like, dang it, dude.
He's a great
crazy.
Guy too, man.
I love Phil.
And that's the thing, man. The team that you have around you and the experience that you've gotten to have so early in your career, 100%. You've got legends and guys and girls that know how to do the thing and know the rights and the wrongs. 100%. And you're learning from some of the best.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. Yeah. It's insane, dude. It's so crazy. I don't even know how to feel about it still. I feel like I'm still getting my bearings about it, but it's insane.
Yeah, man. Well, you got to soak it up and enjoy it and try your best not to blink and miss it and remember and cherish those little moments. So how old are you now?
I'm 22.
You're 22. So you picked up the guitar about 7 years ago.
Yeah,
huh?
Man. Yeah, man. It's crazy. We did, I learned Simple Man, the Shinedown version, right? I loved the Shinedown version. But I picked that up, and once I got that going, my brother kind of played guitar too, so he taught me G, C, and D, and locked myself in a bedroom, watched, I think his last name's Shorts, Marty Shorts, on YouTube. Shout out to him, and he taught me how to play. That's like how I learned, just locked myself up.
Just practicing.
Hours and hours,
Yeah, man, and I feel like songwriting's got to be a part of that too.
Yeah, dude, I mean, I was kind of dabbling when I was younger, and my story is kind of like Pain Won't Last was the first song I ever wrote for Bailey, and but I've dabbled. I feel like I try to half-written songs and try to write guitar melodies and never could really get a full song finished, but I feel like I was definitely, I knew that was going to be a part of it eventually, but I think I was more focused on just figuring out how to do a show, you know. Yeah. I was kind of doing that first. But
yeah, talk about Pain Won't Last, because yeah, there's a long backstory to that. Yeah. And the tribute to your old man, and talking yeah about a time when so many people were down deep yeah in the real shit of the mm-hmm of the pandemic, and life was in a weird spot for the entire world.
Yeah, dude.
And that song comes out. So take us back to writing that one, just how special, and for that to yeah be a as big of a song yeah as it's been, and yeah such a big cut and such a game changer for you.
Yeah, dude. Well, I'll take it back to even really right before it. I was working Pipeline, and I had no idea how to do any of this. I didn't know where to start. I didn't think it was going to happen. Man, it was just like, I just remember being in such a dark spot, honestly. And, man, it took me 2 years. So my dad passed in 2020. I didn't write the song till like maybe the end of 2023 in October. But I remember I wanted to write a song so bad. It wasn't even necessarily about my dad at first, until we kind of, I sat down with a buddy of mine, Ryan Spencer, and he's a writer artist
he's
as well.
Great
guy.
Great
so
guy
talented
and incredibly talented.
100%. Yeah. So me and him he's pretty much OG for me. We were like the guys in our hometown, like, because not a lot of people in our hometown were doing what we were doing. So yeah, it was like we found each other, and, you know, we were just kind of bouncing off of each other. But we sat down, and obviously Ryan has been writing a lot longer than I have. And I will say he like kind of took the room over and was like, let's write something real. It's something you're experiencing. And I was like, man, I've been wanting to write a song about my dad for so long. And dude, that whole night was just a crazy emotional. I feel like I just rant the whole time. And Ryan was putting it in a lyric, and I had the melody, and I mean, it was just insane. But posting it on TikTok was the funny part. He told me not to post it. We didn't have the song finished yet, and we were like, first verse chorus was done. And I remember calling him, and we were on FaceTime actually the whole time. But I was telling him before, it was like 3 a.m. And I was like, yeah, man, I think I'm going to like maybe sing it and post it. He's like, don't post it yet. We got to finish it. I don't think the chorus is there yet. And I was like, man, I think it is, but, you know, whatever. And as soon as I hung up, I posted it on TikTok without telling him. And the next morning, he was blowing my phone up. And he's like, dude, Bailey, it's like literally that fast. The next morning, Bailey commented on it. And man, did I know that was going to turn into this. It's insane, dude.
You never know. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
100%.
And you got to walk through the yeah door and yeah see what happens, man, and throw that dart. You never know yeah what's going to stick.
Man, and it just a song as simple as like, I mean, it's a big thing, but I mean, losing my dad was, I mean, it was terrible. And I mean, I was 17 when I lost him. So it was, man, it was just something weighing me down. It was weighing me down heavy, and it was kind of getting in the way of where I wanted to go, whether it was Pipeline, you know, like even that. It was blocking me from a lot of stuff I needed to, the direction I needed to go. And to be able to sit down, write it with a guy that, you know, is really close to me and with a best friend, and yeah then just really get to release it and then see something like immediate result out of it was just, I don't even know how to explain how that feeling was.
Everything happens for a reason, man.
Yeah, man.
And that you and Ryan writing
yeah
that song together, and
100%.
you ranting and having that therapy session with yeah with a fellow songwriter, a fellow brother yeah in Carolina.
100%.
It all happens for a reason, yeah, dog. And I feel like that's such a huge part of your story, yeah, man. Because then that leads to the next chapter of yeah you starting to get calls from out here.
Yeah, 100%, man. It was just after that. I feel like it was like a 4-month period where I didn't really hear from Bailey at all during that. I mean, he was like in the start of doing his own
yeah
headlining tour and was doing his thing. But from like October to January of 2023, didn't really hear much about it. And then I got a call one day. I actually quit my job with my brother. He was my foreman. And I told him, you know, it's super easy when your brother's your boss.
Yeah.
Called him. I was like, man, you know, I don't really want to do this anymore. And this was kind of like the beginning of 2022.
Yeah.
So, I was jobless that whole time, even writing the song. I didn't have a job
wow
or anything. I was kind of living with friends, like family. I call them family, but friends of mine. And they were like, if you do music and you're doing it serious, we'll like, you have a room at our house. We'll feed you. And they did. Like, they owned it. As long as I was doing music, they fed me every night.
Wow.
I had a room. Forever grateful. Like, I owe them so much. But, yeah, dude, I remember calling my brother saying I quit. And then fast forward to January 2023, I called him again. I was like, man, I need a job, man. And we were at my brother's house, and I was like just about to do paperwork to like re-sign onto his crew, and Ryan calls me. And at this moment, we were having a little bit of a bumpy road, and I hadn't talked to him for a minute, and I kind of let it ring for a second, and then he called again, and then I let it ring again, called me again. It's like three times a row, and then finally, like the fifth time, I answered it. I was like, what's up, man? And it was Bailey on the phone. I have the screen recording, too. I was in shock. And like you said, stuff happens for a reason. Bailey had his first headline tour with Josh Ross. His very last show was at the Blind Horse. Wow. And Ryan was, like, helping run sound and, like, set the stage up. That was, like, what he was doing. So he met Ryan. Ryan asked him about it. And then Bailey asked about me. And then, I mean, hung out on his bus. That's, like, how it happened. Yeah. Insane, dude. It's so crazy how it happens, dude. It's, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, man.
Don't happen like that a lot.
You know? No, it really doesn't, man. Everybody's story is different, man. And it's like your story is different from anybody else's.
Yeah, 100%. And
so when did the trips out here start happening?
So it was almost immediate. I think Tracy, which is at the core, was there. And after I'd sang on the bus with him, I felt like it was... I mean, the next day, Bailey and Tracy called me with Chief and Simon. I had no idea who Chief and Simon were at that time. But they were like, hey, you know, we have a lot of stuff going on, you know, coming up. I think it was, like, unreleased at the time, but he was about to announce going on tour with Morgan the first time. And he's just on, like, his rocket ship. You know, Rockin' the Hard Place was, like, top 10 on radio, I think. So, but, yeah, he was like, we would love for you to come this Thursday. It's, like, our only free day if you can come. I didn't have a car. I didn't have money. I didn't have any idea how I was going to get there. But I told him, I was like, yeah, I'll make it happen. And sure, they probably would have paid for a plane ticket. But I was just so nervous. I was like, I don't want them to think that I'm this dependent early on, you know. So figured it out and ended up getting a plane ticket from a buddy of mine here that I knew through like the internet. We met a couple times and written some stuff together after the Pay Won't Last thing. This is a song that... I wrote with that guy. It's called In the Name of the Father. Y'all may hear it one day. It's a very special song to me about my dad again. But, yeah, I called him, and he was like, man, I can buy you a plane ticket, but you just got to figure out where to stay. I'm in New York. So I figured it out. We landed, and I called the first guy I knew on TikTok, which is Avery Robertson.
Yeah.
I didn't really know him that much at the time. I knew him, like I said, internet friends, and he just got – I think he was like he had a fiance, I think, at the time. And I was like, man, I know you're about to get married. And she just moved in, and I don't want to be a burden by any means, but could I sleep on your couch for a couple days at the time? And I was like, if you could come pick me up, that'd be great. If I have to Uber, I'll figure it out. I only had $5.
Wow.
$5. And he ended up coming to get me with Kanan Brock. This is another one of his roommates, our roommates at the time, or his roommate at the time, our roommate now. The boys, but they came and got me, fed me dinner, told them everything, and then, man, it's been 2 years. We're about to look for a house, all three of us.
Bro,
insane.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I met them and went to the core the next day, and it was like a handshake thing. Chief was like, we love what you're doing. Bailey's obsessed with it, and we would love to, you know, get you on a development, you know, train. And from that point, we was just writing a lot. You know, he's put me in rooms with, you know, their contacts and their writers, and going to Bailey's house. Bailey would like just bring 18 different of his, you know, songwriters, favorite people that he writes with, and would shove me in, you know, the rooms with them, and was writing. I was writing pretty, I feel like, pretty high upscale songs early on.
Yeah, man, and you want to be the weakest guy in the room because you're just soaking it up and learning, and 100%. Iron sharpens iron, and you 100%. Get better by being in the rooms with some legends.
100%, dude. And like, even at the time, and it was a shock that, you know, one of my first writes was with Heath Warren.
Yeah.
Heath Warren wrote, you know, Rockin' the Hard Place. He has a couple other hits as well. Can't name it off my head, but even then it was like, man, I'm not supposed to be here. This is insane, dude.
And Heath's story's crazy because he used to work on the damn pedal taverns, or it was like a boat bar.
Really?
That was like out downtown, like in the river.
Dude.
And Heath used to play drums for my buddy Dawson Edwards. Like, Heath had been in town for a long time and took that jump from LA. He's another guy with a crazy story, but just such a good dude that's 100%. Had his moment here in the last 4 or 5 years.
Man, he's on a rocket ship too, man. It's just like, I feel like that whole squad, you know, I was kind of there early on, so I kind of got lucky right before the, you know, Rocket took off. But seeing how Bailey, you know, Bailey being like a, he's definitely a mentor of mine. Just knowing he kind of just, he's done it, you know, he's been doing it. And just seeing him bring his people with him is, it's such a cool, you know, I respect him so much.
Yeah, man. And that's the best part is guys helping, guys saying they get to a point and are like, let me help my 100%. Brother get up there too.
Yeah. And when Bailey needs songs, Chief, I mean, Heath's the guy, you know, and Heath will get his guys together.
Heath, Hackworth.
Hack, you know, all those guys, dude. So it's cool to be around a community and now I'm slowly building mine. You know, it's insane.
Yeah, man. It's a brotherhood and and you've got a family, man. Y'all got a solid lineup. We're talking like baseball, 1 through 9.
Yeah,
y'all got a stacked roster over there. And it's, I'm sure, been cool to celebrate other folks' victories and now to have some victories of your own and have a team that's celebrating you.
Yeah, dude. I don't really know how to accept it still, man. It's just how I grew up. But I mean, it's insane. I feel very loved and appreciated and very championed, which is a really good feeling.
Yeah, man, that's what a good team does.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what a good team does for sure. What was it like to get the notice that you're a highway find?
Dude, I had
no
idea.
People all over the world are gonna be hearing your songs.
Gosh,
on SiriusXM's The Highway.
Yeah, dude, I had no idea. They played it off well. Britt actually played it the best. Josh, she's with us here.
Yeah.
My day-to-day manager, but I just remember. I even forget now, like, what even y'all did it so well. And when it happened, I forgot all of the little, like, key details. She like, it was in a way of, like, hinted at it a little bit, but it was, like, at a way, like, I would never guess what was going on. And when we got there, I remember just walking in. There was a lot of people in there. We did the interview, and then he kind of set it up. He brought up, like, some of my influences, and then some of my influences were Howie Fiennes, and then... it didn't even click until he said it. Even when he was like, "We would like to announce you," even then I still was oblivious. I was like looking around, like chilling. He's like, "You are a Highway Fiend," and then I was just like immediately shocked, full body froze, couldn't breathe. I was like, "This is insane."
Yeah, man.
On air, it was insane.
And I'm sure that you've noticed now being on the road and folks, they're finding you through streaming. They're finding you through social media, kind of where your musical journey or this chapter kind of began with throwing that dart on TikTok and striking a bullseye in the dive bar.
Yeah.
And now it's like folks, I'm sure, are starting to sing back and pay attention to the catalog that you do have out.
Man, especially now we're getting to where we're hitting similar, like the same markets that we've been in similar like venues and stuff. So I'm excited. I feel like there has been moments. I've heard a couple, but I'm excited now that I feel like I haven't played a couple in as many shows since the Highway Fiend thing. But I remember playing CMA Fest around the same time. And I heard a couple people singing, which is insane.
Yeah.
But that's still something that's a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
Like to have people sing music back to you that you wrote, is still something that like, that's like a bucket list thing for sure.
Man, to know that something that you were a part of creating that didn't exist before, 100%. You and your boys sat down to write it.
Yeah, dude.
People love it so much that they're singing it back to
you. Yeah, man. Yeah, and they relate to it and they're crying to it or they're hype. You know, it's insane. We have the best jobs in the world for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Where have been some of your favorite places that you've gotten to go? Because have you been up to Canada?
I have a lot. We hit Canada a lot.
I was gonna say, I feel like that's part of your if you're an artist at the core, you end up in Canada quite a bit.
100%.
It comes with a passport.
Yeah, 100%. We joke all the time about dual citizen. Like honestly, at this point, you know, we're up there so much.
What is it like up there doing shows? I've heard the Canadian country fans
they're rowdy.
Die hard.
They are, man. And once they're on too, which is insane. But man, I feel like Canada has had some of my favorite shows I've ever played. You know, they're definitely hungry for artists to come out there. And I feel like just with travel and, you know, the budgeting side of things, it's hard for a lot of artists to go out there. But, man, anytime we're able to go, we've already made it a thing of we're hitting Canada as much
as
we can.
What are some favorite spots in the States?
I feel like here I loved Dallas, Texas with Bailey was one of my all-time favorites. Just as far as venue, it was my first amphitheater, so it was like insane to just see an amphitheater filled up for me.
Yeah.
Or for my set, rather. But that was probably one of my favorites. If I had to choose all time, we played the Brady Center in Ohio. I feel like Cincinnati, yeah. Insane, unmatched. I have a video on my social media. I post it often.
Ohio folks are wild.
Wild, dude.
That's one of my favorite places to go. We go to a festival every year. It's called Country Concert.
Yeah.
In Fort Laramie, Ohio. They've been going. Next year will be their 45th year.
Gosh, dude.
Family owned and operated, BYOB.
Yeah.
So it's bring your own booze in.
That's country.
No hotels for 30 miles. So it's 25 to 30,000 people camping out. Like, it's just, it's wild. That's kind of where Nicky T came up with the idea with Raised Rowdy, was him and his friends going to that festival. But Ohio music fans, whether it's in Cincinnati or Toledo or Brick Street in Oxford 100%. Or the Dusty Armadillo up in Rootstown, there's some great clubs out there. And you've gotten, there's something special about a club show and the fans being right on top of you.
Yeah, 100%, man. Even at the Brady Center, it was massive, but still it was set up in a way of just like there were so many people there. It was just like all the way against the, you know, the little gate, whatever, at the front. Yeah. But unmatched show for sure. That the flashlights was my first moment where people, I didn't even have to ask. It was just one of those things where they just, at the end, I wrote this song, and we'll probably get into that. But I wrote this song and I played it, and it's a very heartfelt song. And I mean, by the first verse being like, when the first verse was done, they were already lights up, you know, singing. It was just insane.
That's awesome, dude.
Brady Center for sure.
Yeah. So talking about the music, you've got some songs out right now.
Yeah.
You're seeing success with them. It's got to be. What did it feel like to get that first single out?
Oh,
like,
dude.
To have your name on a song that you're singing on and everything like that. What was that feeling for you?
Man, we were at Whiskey Jam. It was my like Nashville Whiskey Jam debut. The same night that we were dropping the song, I believe. Yeah. Right. Back together. Yeah, so we dropped Back Together the same night as my Whiskey Jam debut in the U.S. Man, dude, I just remember we stayed the whole time till 12, and I was already kind of nervous. I didn't know what to expect. Still learning, you know. Now I kind of have a grasp on like how it works putting out music, but I was like, man, there's only gonna be 5 streams when I wake up. Like, I was just so still like it just makes. Like, I'm still learning what streaming is and how it works, because I've never put music out. But I remember Britt standing on the table as soon as it dropped. We got playlisted. And I was like, what does that mean? And then after that, Macy got on the table and was like, you got this playlist. And it was just like, I hit almost every playlist. I mean, we hit a bunch. And then we ended up waking up the next morning. I think it was the next morning, and then we were the cover of like the Breakthrough Amazon Country.
Wow.
Never been on a cover of anything before, not even a yearbook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like insane for that, man. It unmatched. There's a lot of things I don't even know how to put words to. It's just like, just a moment of just feeling progression, you know, was the biggest thing. Just very emotional. Like, it's working, you know? But I mean, now it's just like putting out music is just, still the same feeling every time, for sure.
Yeah, man, you gotta be hungry to get more stuff out
100%,
there. I'm sure that's
you
get that taste of it, and you're like, I want to do this every 100%.
week. Yeah, dude, you gotta beat every single. That's the thing. You want to beat the last one. So, and I feel like we've done that pretty well. It's insane.
Yeah, so what do we have kind of cooking in the kitchen right now as far as the new stuff coming? And congrats on the formal announcement of the record deal, man. What's it like having that?
Then it, once again, something you can't really put words to, but the feeling is like just having a team believe in it as much as I believe in it is more than I feel like an artist could ask for. But as far as just like now there's help pushing behind the music, it's insane. It makes me want to write better songs. It pushes me to want to write more songs and, you know, the quality of songs, you know, but as far as the making music side, man, I feel like we've been making music I've been writing since I came to town. But I mean, we have hundreds of songs, all different styles. Like I said, we're with each release, I feel like we get closer and closer to what we want to sound like. And man, dude, just the songs that are coming, be ready. We got so many good songs,
Yeah, man, it goes over time, because your last release was Growing Up.
Yep.
Talk about that one a little bit.
That was an emotional one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you're big at touching on the emotions, man. You love pulling on the heartstrings.
Yeah, I feel like I've always lived life in a way. I don't know if it's just like, you know, how I grew up was not necessarily the easiest, you know? So I felt like there was always that emotion of just kind of, I don't know, I feel like I have a lot of anxiety, you know, built up from a lot of my past, and working through it, a lot of the songwriting helps that I do. So I feel like we were saying earlier, it's like therapy to me. I'll go in, we rant, we talk, we write a song, and then it's just like so relieving to me. So y'all are getting, I mean, 100% a real piece of me every time I put out a song, whether it's like the Better Than the Day being like a heavily influence that I grew up on. And yeah. Then with growing up though, man, I feel like I went through a phase where I was trying to cope with my anxiety in ways that, you know, it helps some people, but it didn't really help me that much. And it got me to a point where I was kind of having like a weird mental crisis of just like, man, we're all growing up super fast. Yeah. And everybody's, you know, going to pass on one day. And just that fear of just like, I wear the cross on my neck. I'm a firm believer, but you know, every Christian has their doubts. And yeah, I was just kind of in that weird space of like, where we go? Am I scared of leaving? Am I scared of being left behind potentially? I don't know what it is, but man, it was such a scary couple months for me. I didn't want to leave the house. And what got me out of the house? The power of music. I wrote a song about it, and then it just eased me. I was just like, you know, kind of gave me a way to cope with it, you know. But growing up is a song that for me was like, man, it's scary as hell, but it happens, man. And you just got to see the light in growing up, and, you know, it gets better as you grow. It's beautiful. Growing up is beautiful.
It really is, dude. Really and is. You look back on the memories and think about where you're going to be when you're 30. Like, yeah, I just hit 30, and dude, it's like, I'm definitely older, but I look back at where I was when I was 22. I hadn't even moved to Nashville yet.
Really?
You know, it's like you look back on those memories, and it's the book that we all create with our lives. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, 100%.
And those next chapters and evolving as a human and evolving in the community that you're living in, it's special stuff.
100%. Especially in the line of work that I've, like, growing in as an artist too.
Yeah.
It's insane, dude.
Yeah, dude. You're going from a kid who picked up a guitar and would go out and play at whatever bars would have you to,
and rooms the size of this.
Yeah, you know? Man.
Pizza pubs.
Them little pizza pubs and Mexican restaurants, barbecue joints, the Elks Lodge, they would take.
The patios.
You know? Those little patio gigs with the little pop up PA system and just trying to remember every cover song. And if somebody puts 100%. Money in the bucket, trying to learn it real quick.
100%.
You know, you go from doing that to being a published songwriter to now being an artist that's on tour, to getting to play in front of people.
Yeah. Gosh.
that's just this part of the book.
Yeah, you know? Man. We're on 2 years in. It's happened so fast, dude.
Yeah.
So fast.
So when are we looking at more stuff coming?
We have a song next week dropping, or I guess it would be this week. Man, time flies, dude. You get lose track. But we have a song called She's Good dropping. We've been teasing it. And this song is definitely, I mean, it's just such a good vibe boat song. Trying to dig in. I don't want to depress everybody so much to where they can't handle it. But
you got to have the swells.
100%. You got to add those bangers in there.
Yeah.
100%. So this is one of those songs that wasn't really like it wasn't necessarily a thing I was going through. It's just the beautiful thing about songwriting is, you know, when I sat in the room, you sit in a room potentially with strangers you've never met before.
You gotta be vulnerable.
100%. That, and then like, you never know what this guy's going through, but we sat down, and I remember when I was like, let's write a feel good boat song, man. I've been feeling so sad lately. Let's just write something that makes us feel good. And man, we wrote She's Good, but we're so excited about that one. It's just melodically one of my...
Who'd you write that one with?
So off the top of my head, I know it's Jared Conrad, and then, gosh, dude, Chandler Baldwin?
Yeah.
Chandler Baldwin?
I know Chandler.
Yeah, Lanco?
Yep.
Yeah, so that was the two guys. I'm so surprised. I'm so bad with names.
That's a sign that the song is going to be
something. It's great, dude. Yeah. And they're such good guys. I mean, Jared's such a dog at, you know, making tracks and just as a producer. And I mean, you know, Chandler being, you know, he's an artist as well, or he's a part of a band.
And he's a guy that's been doing it a long time. 100%. What's it been like kind of learning from not only the folks that are in your in your core family, but in your buddies that you write with that have done the artist thing? There's a lot of guys out there that do the artist thing for a while and then they pivot to be like, I just want to write hits.
100%, you know? Man. Yeah, that is probably I mean, just as important, I feel like, as the team that we built, is having people around you that have been doing it or is doing it. Like, just being, having Josh being in, you know, my corner, just being a guy I can call and talk to when I have a question that maybe Britt can't answer, or like a personal artist question.
Well,
you know,
the artist to artist relationship is so huge, man. It's like, it's like that guy was in his freshman or sophomore year at one point.
Yeah.
Look at what he's doing now.
100%.
You know, it's like they've been in your shoes where they're new to town and they're new at this thing, and they got a couple songs out, man. And in that, and I'm sure they've had those anxious moments where they've been in some places that you go through, you know, 100%. Moving to a new city and changing your life completely to pursue this dream. That's a
lot. It's terrifying.
Yeah, dude.
100%.
You're fully betting on yourself. You're putting numbers on a lottery and hoping that it hits. And luckily your work ethic can increase the odds of it hitting,
for sure.
Which it has for you.
Yeah. I feel like the team's the workhorse. I can say we're grinding, but I feel like my team has definitely been keeping me on the right path and like keeping me going. And man, they're just the foundation of it.
Yeah.
You know, having the people around you, I cannot stress enough. For anybody coming up, you can't do it alone, man. It takes a village, dude. It's so hard. I mean, you have people that, I mean, you have lucky breaks and, you know, stuff happens, but I mean, those are North Stars, you know, it doesn't happen a lot. The Baileys don't happen all the time, you know, but even Bailey has a team, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Started out with nothing, but he knew real quick, you know, this stuff, you know, there's a lot of sides to it. And if you want to stay creative and doing the music thing, you got to trust your people, man.
Yeah.
100%.
I was told by Taylor to ask you about Timbits.
Yeah.
So Tim Hortons.
Okay.
The Timbits.
Okay. Yeah.
The Munchkins. So, like Dunkin' Donuts Munchkins.
I don't know if I've had real Timbits yet. I've still yet to go to Tim Hortons.
They have one here.
Do they have one?
A few here. Yeah, it's in Mount Juliet.
What?
Juliet, next to my favorite. Next to my favorite deli, by the way. And we can get into the food stuff. I don't know if you're a big foodie or not.
Big food guy.
A big food guy? Yes, there's a deli.
Is it?
My buddy Ryan owns it.
Okay.
And I'd say buddy, I only went there last week, but him and I have been texting.
Yeah.
He's from my part of the world. He's a Northeastern guy.
I feel like guys can click like that.
He's a Philly Jersey guy.
Yeah,
like him and I hit it up. It's called Milestone Deli.
Okay.
And it is
I actually feel like you've talked about that before.
It's unbelievable, bro. Yeah. You know it's a good place when they don't call it a Philly cheesesteak, they just call it a steak sandwich.
Yeah.
You get the bread
they
is fresh, but right next to it is like a gas station. It's like a normal like little shade. It's nice on the outside, but it's just a shady gas station on the inside.
100%.
But they got a Tim Hortons on the inside.
Oh, goodness.
So you go in and you eat. You want to eat the sandwiches and eat the pasta and eat this good stuff that Ryan and the team at Milestone have.
Yeah.
And then you're like, fuck, I gotta get dessert.
Yeah.
I gotta get a Tim Hortons something,
dude. I'm telling you,
you can cross both off at the same time.
Dude,
it's not that pricey, but it fills you up for the rest of the day, dog.
I might have to hit it, dude. That
you
that
should.
Deli.
It's over in Mount Juliet.
I'm gonna do it.
It's good, man.
Yeah, dude.
Shout out to Milestone. They make the fresh chicken cutlets.
Oh god.
The Italian sandwiches, dog, so good. But Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had it. Have you?
I've had it. I don't know.
Because I feel like in Canada they're everywhere, right?
Oh, they are everywhere. I'm pretty sure if what I had was real Timbits from Tim Hortons, they were amazing. I feel like we went and seen our agents in Canada, and they had a box full. I can't remember if it was Tim Hortons.
The catering of Tim Hortons.
Yeah,
that's
just
the most
sitting.
Canadian thing ever.
Yeah, dude. It was like so early in the morning. Everybody, like, it was coffee time, and just like on the table was just a box. I mean, like KFC box, family size.
Full of
donuts, yeah. And no, man, I mean, if that's what they were, amazing. Top tier. Canada has some really good food.
Have you had poutine?
Poutine? Is
poutine?
That what it is? Love it, yeah. I haven't had it yet.
I'm going to Minnesota next week, but it's a little hot for it, I think.
For sure. I loved it, man. The cheese, I was told if the cheese doesn't squeak in your mouth, it's not real.
Oh, wow.
It's not the real, like...
So you get the cheese and the mouse all in one.
100%. Man, it's so... I will do some sketchy stuff for some poutine, man. It is so good.
That's awesome. What do you miss cuisine-wise from being not in the Carolinas anymore? Because you guys got some good stuff out there.
Yeah, dude. I feel like we have it here, and it should be backwards because we have Memphis right here. But there's this barbecue spot, right, that is called the Smoking Pig in our hometown.
Oh, I've been.
God.
I've been to Smoking Pig outside of Clemson.
Yeah, dude. Smoking Pig is unmatched barbecue for me. I mean, Memphis is great. You cannot go wrong with Memphis barbecue. Dude, that was probably I mean, that was a spot, dude.
Yeah.
I still dream about it. Every time I go back, I have to hit it. But
yeah, I used to. It's funny. I've got a thing for South Carolina girls because I used to date a girl that went to Clemson.
Okay.
And now my girlfriend is from Charleston, but she's a big Gamecocks fan.
100%.
So I've got a thing. Carolina and I definitely have this love affair, but the barbecue and what's cool about Carolina too is you have a little bit of everything.
100%.
You've got the coast with some of the best seafood in the world.
Some of it, yeah.
And then you've got the upstate where you're from, where that's barbecue 100%. Mecca, man.
Burger is like all the things. There's also a little spot my stepmom used to work at it called the B&B restaurant.
Okay.
Right. It's by Anderson University.
Yeah.
So it's the Anderson College.
Over there by Wendell's.
Yeah, dude. Over there in that area. Yeah. And B&B, the outside, it looks a little sketch, but I mean that.
I want it to look
best
sketch.
If it's not sketch, the burger's probably not going to be good.
I ain't going. You know what I mean? Yeah, dude.
If they're still open in a sketch area, they're banging.
I love a Hall's Chop House every 100%. Now and again, but there's something special about walking into a little dive. There's a reason 100%. Guy Fieri's been doing it for like 20
100%,
years.
100%, dude.
Diners, 100%. Diving. Diners, drive-ins, and dives.
Yeah,
give me the dives, bro.
100%.
B&B, so what do you get there, burgers?
Burgers, dude. B&B restaurant, if you get their burger, I mean, I think it's the best burger I've ever had. I mean, it could be biased with my stepmom working there, but I grew up getting it every day after school. Me and my dad would go eat, or even if I had off days, you know, weekends, we'd go. So
and there's something sentimental about it. It's like music, where it's 100%. Like a certain song brings you back.
Yep.
A bite of that burger, that dude, patty melt, brings
you
right back.
I went recently. It's been a while because right before my dad passed away, my parents or my stepmom and him actually split up for a minute. So it was a while, but I went back recently. I think it was back in December, and it was like the most recent time I went home.
Yeah.
It's been years since I went, and man, I was driving, and I think I'd already ate too, but I was just like, man, I want to stop there just to feel it again. And I walked in, sure enough, haven't seen her in years. My stepmom was at the register, and it was just like locked eyes. We cried. She ate lunch with me. But dude, unmatched burger.
Yeah. What's it been like what have your family and friends thought about all that you have going on?
I hate to say it. It's like not even the same going back home. I feel like back home before all this, there wasn't a lot going on. I feel like everybody was, you know, the small town, like work, come home. That was just like the cycle, you know, and I was in school all the time. So there wasn't really, when I was doing music, of course, I definitely had some support from family, but with it just being like a pipe dream, man, like nobody really knows it's going to happen, you know? So it's kind of everybody did their own thing. We didn't really talk much about it, but I feel like now when I go home, it's just like music, which is right now. I mean, it may get old. I don't know. I haven't experienced it yet, but
it won't.
Every time I go home, I just feel so like I'm about to get emotional about it. Like walking in to my Uncle Terry's house, I'm talking about immediately the whiff of cigarette and like, just like you're in the small town home, the dogs barking. I grew up here, you know, I've ate dinner here since I was 5 years old, and him running up to you, you know, he's getting older, and just like, man, how's music going? And like, how's life? And me getting to tell him, like, Uncle Terry, I just traveled, you know, 38 states in the last couple months and playing these shows for 4,000 people and hanging out with all these artists that you hear on the radio. And then now I'm on the radio.
Yeah.
And I cannot describe that feeling, dude. But I love going home. I think it's such a hard reset. I know if I'm going through a tough time, we could plan out. Me and Britt usually plan out a couple of days. I can go, just kind of reset, and then I'm like every time I come back, I'm like good to go.
Yeah, man. There's no place like home.
100%.
There's no place like home, dude. And I feel that way coming from New York. And my family, I've still got some up there. A lot of them have moved a little south from there. But there's something special. There's nothing like that nostalgia feeling to go down and touch the dirt. You
100%,
know,
just walk outside barefoot.
Yeah, dude. You know? Because it goes so fast, and you get caught up in like a bubble where you miss stuff because.
Yeah.
You're on the road, or you're in the writing room, or you're so focused on this next release that you go back and you remember what this life is all about.
Yeah, dude. It you don't realize how fast time moves either until you get busy doing stuff like this in a city. Because I feel like even with growing up, I feel like where that crisis came from, or that midlife crisis I had, just the mental, like, whoa, you know, that I had, I felt like back home, man, time moves so slow.
Yeah.
The days feel longer. And then when you get into a business like music, I feel like even from a manager standpoint, I can imagine like time like just slips right under you. You know, you have emails, you're dealing with, you know, Britt. I'm not Britt's only artist, you know, so she has other artists she has to deal with. And then me, you got to write. We have like, you know, we had the podcast to do today. Also, the reason I was late, I had to help a friend move. So it's like just time, like, you know, in a big city especially too, I feel like it just keeps going and going. And then you get moments where like you're like 2 weeks down the road and you're like, oh my gosh, it's already been a week. Like last week I was on a time funk. I thought it was Thursday and it was Friday, and then I thought it was Friday, but it was Saturday. Bro, and it's just like,
that means you've been on the road, and that means you've been grinding. 100%,
dude. 100%.
That means you've been grinding.
Going to Canada.
Yeah, too. Dude, I go through that stuff too, man.
Oh my gosh, dude, what day is it? Yeah. Like, you're telling me it's not Friday, you're lying.
Yeah,
it's
Sunday. If we didn't have our events on set days, like if I didn't have our Wednesday event and like Nick doing Sundays and me doing every other Tuesday, I wouldn't know what freaking day it was.
If I didn't have that $1,200 phone right there, or Britt calling me, I wouldn't know what day it was.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, man. But you gotta just keep your head down 100%. And keep on going, man. Because you're at such a damn exciting chapter, man.
Dude, it's like, man. I don't even know what to say, dude. It's insane.
It's wild.
How much has happened.
It's wild, man. So I'm pulling up some of the dates.
Yeah.
Oh man, you're going to some of my favorite places.
Yeah.
You're going in August, later this month. You're going to what's the amphitheater tour that you're on right now?
I guess that would be with Tyler. The amphitheater with August. Yeah, Tyler Hubbard.
Okay, sick. So that venue up there, it's called Bethel Woods.
Oh my God, I've heard about this.
It's the grounds where the original Woodstock happened.
Okay. Yeah.
It's where Woodstock, like Woodstock 69 took place.
Yeah. Well, they were telling me, I forget who I was talking to. Actually, funny enough, you never know you run into at the airport. I was talking with some Jason Aldean tour guys, right?
Yeah.
And we were going to Canada at the same time. And he actually was telling me, man, what was his name? Forget his name. Great guy. If you're watching, great guy. But, he was telling me, he's like, yeah, dude, usually they'll take you in like on a golf cart and let you like go see the stage and stuff. They had like all where it was or whatever.
The museum and everything.
Yeah, 100%. I hope we have time to do that.
Yeah, man. I growing up, I'd go to shows there. Like I saw Skinner there.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Fire, dude.
I
missed everything.
I saw Brantley Gilbert open for Tim McGraw up there.
Sure.
That was the two lanes and Freedom Tour or whatever it was.
Sick.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting to do some cool freaking spots. You're going to Woolies in Iowa. How excited are you for that October 2nd show at Wendell's?
Man.
How big of a full circle moment is that going to be? Back at Wendell's. Shout out. I don't know if Jackie's still involved over there.
I'm not sure.
I think
either.
Jackie was the owner last time I was out there.
Yeah.
Special place in my heart. I love that little dive bar. But how big is that show going to be for you?
Dude, I think if it's sold out 80% of its family and friends, I think we have... I still, like, when I first posted it, I mean, it was, like, first hour, 100 likes on Facebook. Like, that important.
Yeah.
You know when you get that much likes on Facebook, it's gone.
Oh, you said something.
100%. Hometown's going crazy.
Yeah.
But, man, dude, I'm so excited. We have a lot of my family coming out, a lot of my friends. My very first concert I ever watched was there.
Who was it?
With Cody Johnson.
Oh, wow.
I went and watched Cody Johnson at Wendell's.
Was that outside or inside?
Outside.
Outside.
So it was like right on the verge. Like, I don't even think Till You Can't was out. It was like he was coming up, you know? But I saw Cody Johnson at Wendell's. It was my first show. I've played a couple times with the 3-20 guys, like I said. Man, to be back there on like the next step up is insane. I'm so ready for it. And the crazy thing is we play Savannah the next day.
Yeah.
So we drive down to Savannah,
north,
which is, you know, where I was born.
Yeah.
You have it tatted on my arm. So it's like I get to see family that I grew up around and like hometown. Then I get to go see family that I don't really get to see a lot in Savannah.
Yeah.
I'm super hyped.
That's
going to
be
a great weekend.
Yeah, in October.
And we
get
to rekindle the vibes with Austin Snell.
Oh, that's with Austin?
That's with Austin. Yeah.
Is that indoors at Wendell's?
If it's indoors, that's going to be so much even better, I feel like.
Bro.
That's going to be so
Austin's
hype.
Show indoors at Wendell's?
Yeah. I don't know.
If that's indoors, that's gonna be nuts.
It's gonna be crazy. Very loud.
I did that show at the DDID back when I was out with Trey Lewis, and you know, yeah. and Ella Langley opened yeah. that show for us.
Sick,
somebody threw a beer bottle at her, and she just ducked out of the way and kept playing.
Really?
She's been a badass her whole life.
Yeah, that's
why.
So badass.
But yeah, dude, you're running all over the damn place.
Man,
like you're. Everywhere. You got dates all the way through November, man. That's yep. such a blessing to have the schedule that you have, man.
100%. If you're busy, you're doing something right, for sure.
Yeah, man. Well, you're busy as hell, and I appreciate you coming on here 100%. And hanging out. So we got new song coming out next week.
Yes, sir.
Which I'm so stoked about.
We're so excited. Wait, this week.
This week.
This Excuse week.
Me. New song is out now.
Yeah.
Remind me that title one more time. My head's all over the place. She does.
She's good.
She's good.
She's good. She's good. Is out now.
She's good. Is out right freaking now. And then what do we have down the pipe before
we
that?
Have
Tease
a
us
couple,
a little bit.
We have a couple. We have one called Whiskey's Whisper, and I've been teasing a lot. It's been kind of catching some traction, which is insane. So we have that. We have a couple others. I recorded a bunch with Brandon Hood, which nice. Is our producer right
yeah.
now, and he crushes.
Oh,
I mean,
Brandon's
Tom Myers
one of the best, yeah.
is one of his, like, you know, high horses right now. But I mean, we did 8 or 9 songs. We're always cutting, so a lot of good music. But I'm super excited about Whiskey Whisper, and it's like, to me, it's a song that growing up with the two different, you know, my dad was super country, my mom loved R&B. It kind of just like, it's gonna be. I mean, I feel like it's really close to like true Brandon. Like, this is
Love
who
it.
I am, kind of thing.
Love it, man. Yeah, give us all the true Brandon.
100%. Yeah.
Give us all, whether you're going to make us cry, whether we're going to be bopping around on the boat, or whether we're getting into our feels with a beat and a little bit of that smooth R&B, man. Give it
for
to
sure.
us, man. Well,
we're excited.
Thank you so much
thank
for
you,
coming
bro.
On here
yeah,
and taking
dude.
The time out of the busy schedule, and keep doing what you're doing, dog. Bro. We love it. Everybody, like, you're having this town is better with you being in it.
Thank
Seriously,
you,
I mean
thank
that,
you.
Man. And happy to call you a brother and a good
Likewise,
friend.
Dude.
So, and love having you in our Raise Rowdy family, brother.
Yeah, man. Let's do some more shows, dude.
Let's Raise do Rowdy. It, bro. Do let's it. Do it. Or I'm gonna figure out a date. We'll talk more after this.
Yeah.
I want to figure out a date where I can get out there on the road and watch you guys.
100%.
Like, where me and Nikki T can road trip, load some of our degenerates up in the truck, and
yeah,
make a little drive
let's
out.
Do
get,
it,
get to a B-Wish show
let's
on
hang
the
out.
Road.
Let's do it.
Do it, buddy.
That'll
let's
be so fun.
Y'all be sure to look up our man Brandon Wisham. Get out there, see a damn show on the road, and check out the music. New stuff coming very soon. All the good things going. Shout out to our friends from Surfside, Vodka Lemonade, Vodka Iced Tea, Vodka Green Tea. No bubbles, no troubles. Oh, you're gonna try it right now. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. It's got a lot of caffeine in it too. It's gonna wake you right up. A little bit of that green tea vodka goodness.
It's amazing.
Sunshine in a can, man. No bubbles, no troubles. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. Y'all be sure to check them out. And for more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. My man B-Wish, I'm Matt Brill. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve. They usually just make them leave.